pleasant good morning to you and welcome to The Deed of Inheritance, a program sponsored by Victory Christian Fellowship in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. I'm Fiona Pishka, and I hope that you are having a wonderful day today in the Lord. I'm so glad that you have joined us here on this program. And with me here in our church is Pastor Doug. How are you doing today, Pastor Doug?
I'm doing very well. Good morning.
Amen. And we are so happy that you've joined us. I know you have a special message for us today. What will be the topic for today?
Today, I want to talk about releasing the captives bring joy. When someone gets released from captivity, it produces a great joy in us. And since we're entering the greatest season of joy for the believer, that's what I want to focus on today.
Amen. That sounds like a wonderful teaching this time of year. You know, with all the busyness of what goes on, all of the wars that go on between the retail stores and different businesses, it's time that we bring back to our remembrance and bring back to our community and to our churches the real reason for this season of Christmas, and that is the birth of Jesus Christ so many thousands of years ago, that he came here, he had to come to earth first in order for us to receive redemption and salvation. And so that is what we're celebrating this time of the year. Of course, if you'd like to celebrate with us, you're welcome to join us at our services anytime on a Sunday morning starting at 10 a.m. We also have our Wednesday night service. We have our Wednesday night service tonight at 7 p.m. And Pastor, I believe you're talking about our weapon or armor.
Yeah, for our Wednesday night refreshing, I'm talking about our spiritual authority. We need to know who we are in Christ and what he's given us so that we can effectively fight in this battle.
Amen. So if you'd if you're a believer, if you are getting back into the life of a Christian, whatever state you are in your Christian walk with the Lord, this would be a great teaching for you to be able to learn and understand the authority that you have in Christ. And of course, for our Christmas Eve, actually, every year for the past 4 or 5 years, we've had a Christmas Eve candlelight service here at our church in Palmyra. And this year is no different. We will be having our candlelight service at 6 p.m. We start at 6 p.m. and we end around 7 p.m. We would like to invite you and your family to join us for this service. It's a wonderful time of celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. So make plans to join us on Christmas Eve, 6 p.m. here in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. You could find directions to our church at www.vcfpa.org, or you may call us at 717-838-2033. Well, let's pray before we get started today. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you bring life to us. I thank you, Lord, that you can reveal to us what it is that you have written in your word to us, about us, and for us. And so, Lord, today as we listen to the words of the Bible and to the preaching of the word of God, I pray that we will be lifted up in our spirits, that we will truly experience your joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now here's Pastor Doug.
Well, thank you for listening to this deed of inheritance, and we just... I believe that's going to cause you to inherit God's promises and experience their benefits. In the Bible, there is a book written by Nehemiah. He was a governor in Israel. He was also a cupbearer under a foreign king in Babylon. And he was carried off in exile. He was a captive under the Babylonian reign. And I really want to talk to you today about releasing the captives bring joy, or releasing from captivity brings joy. And each one of us were held captive by Satan and his dominion of darkness under sin. Sin enslaved each one of us. Some are still under the bondage of sin today, even though everything has been made for them to get them out from under the dominion of sin. Jesus has made a way for us. And sin will enslave you. Sin will take you captive. And I want to... the word captivity is a state or condition of being in bondage to one's enemies. even involves a deportation to a foreign land. And captivity is a shameful and humiliating punishment for disobedient, idolatrous people. And, of course, many people under the court of Judah were taken into captivity along with the priests, the skilled workers, and anyone else who might overthrow or lead a revolt against Babylon. Now, the captives realized that this occurred because of their because they broke God's covenant, and the curses that go along with that came to bear up on them. And they were torn from their homes and from their familiar surroundings, and they were forced to travel across a hot desert to a strange land to work as slaves for their conquerors. Now, this particular captivity lasted for 70 years for Judah. And then some of them were allowed to return under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah. But Nehemiah is someone who was familiar with captivity. And God raised him up to kind of rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And then he was made governor of Jerusalem. And so while he was rebuilding the walls, they had to rebuild with a sword in one hand and building tools in the other hand. And they faced challenges, they faced difficulties, they faced opposition. And in his book, in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, this was after the walls had been rebuilt in 52 days, and some of the captives were now being allowed to return back to Jerusalem. And he makes this statement here in verse 10. It says, "Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" And there was about 42,360 people that were returning from captivity. And now Jesus has released us from the captivity of sin. He has broken the chains that has bound us and opened our prisons, and he has pardoned our sins and our failures and our mistakes. Now we are free to do his will if we choose. Now choosing to do his will brings blessing, but choosing not to do his will brings a curse and a judgment. And here's what the Bible says about what happens when a person is released from captivity. See, that's what I want to focus on today. I want to focus on our being released, our being, we were captives, but now we're made free. And in Psalm chapter 30, verses 4 and 5, it says this: "Sing praise to the Lord, you his saints, you saints of his. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." You know, in life, you may go through times of weeping. You may go through tragedies. You may go through difficulties and challenges. And they may take your toll on you physically and emotionally and even spiritually. But the Bible says that weeping may endure for a night. You may experience a time of weeping, but that time of weeping is going to be short. It's going to be temporary, because what's coming on the end of that is joy is going to come in the morning. And weeping is temporal, but joy is eternal. And here's another scripture in Psalms 126. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And it says, "When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Notice what it says here in this passage of Scripture. He's talking about when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion. In other words, when the captives were released, when those were who were held in captivity, they were now made free. They were free to go back from where they were taken from. It said, number one, their mouth was filled with laughter. That's a representation of joy. That's an expression of joy. See, when they were released from captivity, there was joy that resulted in laughter. And on their tongue was singing. So there was joy and singing that went with their being released from captivity. And then as they began to declare the great things that God did for them, it said they became glad. They were glad. See, when you focus on what the Lord has done, when you get your eyes off the thing that caused you to weep or that brought the pain, and that's the struggle. That's the difficulty, is putting your eyes on Jesus. Gladness is going to be produced in your heart. And then he goes into a prayer and he says, bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. See, you may sow in tears, but you're going to reap in joy. See, there's all, joy is the light at the end of the tunnel. Joy is at the end of the struggle that you're going through. There is joy there. Do you realize that Jesus was able to face the cross, the persecution, and the shame that went with it because of the joy that was set before him? What was the joy that was set before Jesus? Well, the joy that he saw and the joy that was at the end was all the people who would accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and come back into fellowship and relationship with the Father. That was the joy that was set before Jesus. And it was that joy that gave him the strength to endure the cross, despising the suffering and the shame that he went through. And he was able to make it through because he knew that after the crucifixion, there would be a resurrection. And after the resurrection, there would be many others who would come after him, who would accept Jesus Christ as Lord, who would get restored in their relationship with God. It was the joy that gave him strength to endure the crucifixion. Without that joy, he would have failed. But there was joy that was set before him. See, my friend, today weeping, you may weep for a night, but I guarantee that there is joy coming in the morning. And in the morning, God has, the sun will come out again and the sun will shine and you can get over whatever it is that caused you to weep. You can get through it. You can make it. There's hope. Listen to what Isaiah 61 verses 1 through 3 says. Jesus quoted this as his ministry. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." Did you know that part of Jesus' ministry was proclaiming liberty to the captives? Jesus has come to tell you, hey, your chains are broken. You have been released from bondage. You have been pardoned. The prison doors are open. Now walk out. You're no longer a prisoner. You're no longer a slave. You're a child of God. You're a free person. You've been ransomed. You've been redeemed. That's part of his ministry, was to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. You know, there are many things in this world today that can bind a person. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, even overindulgence in things. You know, overeating, too much of a good thing. But there are things in this life that their sole purpose is to get you into bondage. See, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to tempt you with these things. And he makes it appear so good. But once you get into it, you realize it's not so good. All it does is produce death. And it leaves you captives. It leads you down a dead-end road. It takes away your hope. And it strips you of everything. You know, it steals from you. People who get involved in drugs, it wreaks havoc to their friends and to their family. And alcohol, someone who is bound by alcohol, you know, there's a certain point when alcohol takes over and a person can't do anything without being under the influence of alcohol. That's called being captive. That's called being in bondage. But friend, I'm here to tell you today that there is liberty, there is freedom for those who are held captive. Your prison door has been opened through what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And also along with this, Jesus was to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. He is to comfort all who mourn. He is to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. You know, maybe your life is messed up. Maybe something that was beautiful has become a pile of ashes. Well, God wants to restore beauty to your ashes. Only He can. Only God can help you. Only God can make something beautiful out of your pile of ashes. Let Him today. Come to Jesus today. And He wants to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. God wants to give you the oil of joy in replace of your mourning or your weeping. And He wants to give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that you may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So, do you see how God wants to take your weeping, your captivity, and He wants to bring you joy? In order for you to have the joy, you've just got to come to Jesus. You've just got to accept Him as Lord and Savior. You've got to call upon Him. You've got to cry out to Him. You've got to repent. And God will bring joy. He'll cause your weeping to cease, and He'll cause joy to explode on the inside of you. Listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 10. The ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Friend, joy and gladness is yours to obtain today. You can have it now. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is receive what the Word says. Take it as yours. Lay claim to it. There is joy that comes from someone being released from captivity. Oh, it's a good thing to come out of the prison. It's a good thing to get all the shackles off. It's a good thing to get rid of the heaviness that has kept you down with a frown on your face. Let's turn that frown upside down and turn it into a smile, because a smile increases face value. A smile will never go up in price or down in value. It will always bring warmth. Now, how do we find joy? What do we need to do? How can we release joy? Well, joy is released in shouting, dancing, singing, laughing. It's an expression of gladness. There's much rejoicing in the release of joy. Weeping, you can weep tears of joy. I know people who cry when they're happy sometimes. It's not because they're sad, but because they're happy. But these are ways that we can release joy. You know, you may not feel like releasing joy. But, you know, you have to understand this. Number one, God's presence is the source of our joy. Psalm 16, verse 11, the Bible says this: You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So when you understand that God's presence is the source of your joy, all it takes for you to have joy is to get in God's presence. Well, God is everywhere because He's spirit. He's omnipresent. And the Bible is a source of joy. Anything that has to do with God's presence, you know, it's a change of attitude. It's just a slight change in your attitude, saying, you know, a desire to repent for something that you've done or said wrong. That's how you get in God's presence. You know, Nehemiah said that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, you know, if someone who doesn't have joy, they don't have strength to endure trials or tests. Someone who doesn't have joy is going to be overwhelmed by the things that they experience in life. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full." That's verses 11 and 12 of John chapter 15. You know, when Jesus's joy, when God's joy is in us, then our joy can be full. You're not going to have full joy without having Jesus in your heart or without him being Lord of your life. Friend, it's just not going to happen because he is the source of joy. His presence. Did you know that salvation produces joy? When you know that you're saved from death and destruction, you're saved from going to hell, that produces a joy in your heart. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 12 that with joy we can draw water from the wells of salvation, because salvation is a source of joy. You know, when David sinned against God and he prayed a prayer to restore him in right relationship with God, he said this in Psalm 51. David pleaded to God to restore his joy. Well, if God's presence wasn't the source of joy, David certainly couldn't have his joy restored if he was asking God. But he asked God because he understood that God was the source of his joy. So you have to understand, friend, that God's presence is the source of our joy. Secondly, joy is the product of being free from captivity. You know that freedom from captivity produces joy. We read in Psalm 126. It says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion. Notice who initiated it. Notice who fulfilled his promise. Notice who brought it to pass. It was the Lord. It wasn't anybody else, but it was the Lord who did it. And we need to be thankful for what God has done. Take your eyes off your temporary situation and look to Jesus. Look what he did on the cross. Look how much he loves you and cares about you and wants to be involved in your life. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5 tells us that weeping is temporal. It's going to endure for a short time. It says that, you know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, when weeping is finished, joy is going to be there waiting for you, waiting to be embraced, waiting to be received by you. You need to receive joy in your heart. You know, Jesus said in Isaiah 61, part of his ministry, he'll turn your mourning into dancing. Well, dancing is a form of joy. How many want to replace their weeping and their sorrow for true joy? And, you know, following in God's way produces everlasting joy. You know, Proverbs 17:22 says, "Laughter is good medicine." Sometimes the way to correct something wrong in your body is to laugh. Laugh about it. You know, the Bible also says in Proverbs 15, it says, "One who has a merry heart has a continual feast." You want a continual feast? Well, have a merry heart. And number three, joy is a key ingredient in serving God. The Bible talks about the kingdom of God. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. See, without joy, you're going to be a miserable servant for God if you don't have joy. Who wants to come and receive a God where he doesn't cause you to have a smile on your face or he doesn't do anything good? People in the world already have that. They already have a God that doesn't produce joy in their life. And you know, Galatians 5:22 tells us that joy is a fruit that can be grown and develop. Well, it's time to let joy grow. Let it abound in you. How do you do that? Well, you participate in it. You express yourself in the different ways of that joy occurs. Shouting, dancing, singing, laughing. Well, maybe you say, "Well, Brother Doug, I don't find anything funny." Well, you know, joy doesn't come from your circumstances. It comes from the Lord. So when you look to the Lord, and did you know that God says that if you pray to him, he'll answer your prayer so that your joy may be full. He wants you to have full, abundant joy. And, you know, Peter told us that the gospel gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. So God has released us from captivity. And when you realize that, when you know that, that message is going to produce joy in your heart. One of the disciples of Jesus named Philip, he went down to a place in Samaria. And the Bible says that he preached Christ. He healed people that were sick. And there was great joy in that city. See, Christ is the source of our joy. And you can have this joy today by being, by accepting what Jesus Christ has done, by accepting his deliverance. Just pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just come before you. I put my trust in you. You are my Savior. You are my King. You are my Lord. Fill me with your joy today. Restore the joy of my salvation. Help me to walk in joy. Give me strength for what I'm going through. I just trust you in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer, we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call. And here's my lovely wife to tell you more about our church. God bless you.
Amen. I sure hope that you enjoy that word today. You know what I thought of as Pastor Doug was speaking is that during this Christmas season, many people get sad or they think about the cost of buying presents and paying for a holiday meal, traveling to see family and friends, and it costs them something. They have to get money, they have to pay for it. But there's something that we could have that no one could determine the amount of what we have of it except ourselves, and that is joy, because it comes directly from God and it is a result of our attitude in receiving God's joy. So this Christmas season, I want you to take a look at yourself and see how much joy you have allowed in your life, how much of it you've let go of, but it's all up to us. We can't let our circumstances decide whether or not we're joyful or we're happy, because like Pastor said, it is the place that we get our strength from, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I sure hope that you enjoy that message today, that it will challenge you for this Christmas season that we're entering into, that it will have you take a look at how you spend your life, how you spend your day, how much of it is wrapped up in joy and how much of it is wrapped up in worry and fret and just plain old not having a very good attitude. So if you'd like to visit us at our church here in Palmyra, Pennsylvania, we're at Victory Christian Fellowship. Our address is 695 East Ridge Road in Palmyra, Pennsylvania. And our telephone number is 717-838-2033. You may visit our website at any time to listen to this program again, or forward it to a friend, or just download it to your iPod. Our web address is www.vcfpa.org. We also have all kinds of resources available to you. And ladies, if you'd like to mark your calendars for December 8th, we are having our ladies meeting, our final meeting for the year of 2007. We will be having it here at our church location in Palmyra. We would like to invite you. It starts at 10 a.m. and we usually end around 12 noon. We'd love to have you visit us. You may, of course, log on to the website for directions or call the church if you have any questions at all. And we'll be happy to help you with that. Of course, if you've heard us on our programs previously this year, you have heard us talking about the Alpha Course. And Pastor Doug, we're having that come up again. What are we doing this time?
Yeah, we're going to be having Alpha starting on January 10th. We're going to be having it on Thursday evening. And if you have questions about who Jesus is, why did he come, what did he do, how does our faith work, I want to encourage you to come to our Alpha course. You'll have a free meal. You'll hear a great message, and you'll get to discuss. And if you don't want to say anything, you don't have to. And also, too, if you're listening to this radio program and you come and visit any of our services and you say that you listen to us on the radio, we're going to give you a free gift.
Amen. So there's an incentive for you to come and join us live at one of our services. And just give us a call. Let us know that you're listening. God bless you today as you continue to inherit his promises and as you continue to experience their benefits. God bless you.